Hey guys, and welcome to yet another Thrive podcast. I'm Mason.
And I'm Jamal.
We're here with Curious Minds, a regional cultural education charity based in Preston.
So we're going to be talking to Amber, who is 24 years old, Grant, who is 21, and Anna, who is 28.
So for you guys, I just want to ask you a little question. We've been talking about different topics such as social media, school, bullying, and so many things that the youth have to deal with. So Grant, how do you feel social media has really impacted you?
Well, I feel like it's helped me connect to the community better. I like going to a lot of concerts, and it can be quite hard to hear about it nowadays. A lot of the stuff gets posted online on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. I think also a lot of this stuff that we do, Curious Minds, the team, we talk via Facebook Messenger. So that's obviously a good thing, because some of us are in Manchester, Liverpool, different areas around the north of England, so it can be a bit hard to communicate. So I think it's quite good in that sense. You know, it creates more connection and a better community in terms of talking to people you already know, I suppose.
So you see social media as a positive?
Yeah, I think that's a positive, isn't it?
Yeah. So what about the negatives then?
I feel like the fact that you've always got that pressure to post what's happening in your life, always to appear that things are going well, post pictures of having, you know, a good time with your friends, what you're going to be eating, always having to clocking can kind of stress you out a little bit, because you never fully get the switch off. Always in the back of your mind, subconsciously, you're thinking about the fact that, you know, people could get in touch with you anytime. You never really get to just chill out unless you turn your phone off, which a lot of people don't do because they feel that they might be missing out on something if they do turn the phone off. And I think that ends up causing some kind of mental illness, and it can lead down that path if you let it.
Yeah, with regards to that, so in terms of the pressure, do you think it's more of a silent pressure? In terms of, it's not someone directly saying it, it's just the idea of, oh, if I don't go on this social media site, etc.
Like an expectation.
Yeah, I won't be able to have that personal experience.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like it's kind of started to kind of become ingrained in just society in general. People feel like they have to use social media. It's not necessarily a spoken rule. But, you know, if you meet a new friend, say, out somewhere, they'll ask you, oh, have you got Facebook? And that kind of just plays in the back of your mind that you have to have one of these things to communicate and connect with new people.
Yeah, it's definitely almost like a conversation starter nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And, a conversation starter and a way to help continue the conversation. A lot of people just start talking online, won't they? Instead of meeting up another time.
Do you think that's sad in a way, the fact that we're all of a sudden starting to talk about social media, not about, oh, what do you do in your spare time? What school do you go to, etc.?
I think there's definitely sides of both. I think it's sad that the conversation can lead there, but at the same time, I believe it can kind of help boost these communities and give some people an incentive to do stuff. Or maybe they wouldn't have that incentive in the past.
What about you, Anna? What are your opinions in terms of this social media perspective?
Well, I was just thinking while you were talking, Grant, actually, does it affect the way that we, the kind of the quality of our connections, right? So maybe we might be sharing things with our friends, but what we're actually looking for is likes rather than a kind of a genuine connection. That was something I was just thinking about.
Maybe because they want to be popular with people, and they want to be seen out there.
Yeah, to be devil's advocate, I think that as we started talking about, social media can be, you know, a good thing, and it could be a platform for different views. You know, for instance, body positivity, and you know, maybe LGBT movements, which you said you touched on before. I guess it's just, you know, how loud those things are amplified and the balance of what you consume in terms of social media and what you take in.
Does that make sense? Yeah, I think that's true, because like you say about body positivity, and I think there's a lot, something I've seen come up every now and then is plus size models becoming a lot more popular online, and that's a good thing, obviously.
Absolutely. And I think something I wanted to talk about was I do see younger people being able to change their points of view more, and certainly social media being one platform for generating enthusiasm for, you know, for different causes.
So aside from like how it affects more the youth, how do you think social media can help with job opportunities and things like that?
Job opportunities on social media?
Yeah.
It can be one way. I mean, to find them out, I'm not sure it's the best way to find out about job opportunities on social media.
Also, just quickly, to do with visits to do job opportunities, but if you, I feel like you hear a lot of stuff where people have posted something years in the past on social media, and that comes back to haunt them later on down the line, where people's like minds changes and what they believe in changes. But, you know, their boss or the people, the employer, can look through their history and go, oh, we did this, and, you know, that's not very good, and we don't want somebody like that. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
It does definitely affect, like, some of the things you've done, because I was told, I don't know if it's true or not, but apparently certain job companies will search up your Instagram profiles, your Facebook profiles, and especially as a young person, we haven't really got the experience or sort of maturity to post the right sort of things.
No, I think it's very intrusive, that is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but then it's also a life lesson. Like, we shouldn't be doing those things if we want to further better our life ahead.
I think so, but at the same time, I think every single human being alive has the right to make mistakes and learn from the mistakes. And, you know, it's not fair for them to judge you on something you've done in the past if that's not a reflection of who you are nowadays, you know.
Yeah. So sticking with job opportunities, Amber, you want to talk about how people with disabilities find it harder to access jobs. What are your views on that?
Well, nowadays it's hard for people with disabilities to get jobs, and there's not many people that don't have a job. It's only like 6% of people have a job with a disability, which I don't think is a good figure.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think people aren't disabled people aren't having the same opportunities as those who don't have that disability?
Probably because people judge them and don't think that they're good for jobs. But then people with disabilities, like they have great skills that will be beneficial as well for jobs as well.
Before you graduated, was there any kind of support that your university gave to you about postgraduate jobs?
I can't remember now, it's a while back. I certainly didn't access any, whether it was there or not, or whether it wasn't visible, I'm not sure.
Are you on about the support or the actual like postgraduate jobs? Are you on about the support there?
Yes, yeah. And I mean, I do think it's a thing that I've experienced, is I always say people kind of, well, certainly for my course, because it was an arts course, we did a degree show, you've got this enormous push to get to the end, to exhibit all of your work, you have this great big show. My uni was great and my class was great and I had a great work ethic, and then I just kind of fell off the end and there was nothing. And I do see that in quite a lot of people that I know. Maybe it's less so if you've got a more sort of a vocational degree, you know, maybe something like engineering or something like sciences, where often it's people go on to do a master's or training with a company. It wasn't like that, so it was quite a downtime after that, I think.
So what was your degree in?
I did fine art sculpture.
Okay. And how long was that for?
It was a full-time one for 3 years.
Interesting. And so compared to all of your friends, did they also have that same struggle as you in terms of finding jobs afterwards, or was that mainly sort of a personal experience?
No, I think I've seen that in quite a few people, certainly with the arts world, particularly because I studied in London, particularly people who have stayed living in London. I certainly couldn't do it because you're a very, very small fish in a very, very big pond there. It's very expensive to live there. very difficult to get jobs. It's something I've seen in other people.
So would you say that sort of if you can't get to London, there's such a lack of opportunity? For example, if you live in the north, if you live in the far south, southwest, etc., there's such a limited opportunity. Whereas if you go further into the centre, sort of London way, that's the only opportunity that you have. But then there's this huge boundary in terms of finance, in terms of location, leave your family, etc.
A bit of both. There certainly are more opportunities in London because there's more arts organisations based in London, as well as quite a lot of the funding focused on London for those kind of posts. However, living where I live up in Cumbria, I say that I know a lot more people. I'm better connected with the arts organisations that are up here simply because there's less of them.
It's more personal, so, really.
Yeah, a bit of both there.
Right, guys, so we only have about 5 minutes left before we start wrapping up. But if there are any final comments, final thoughts that you guys have, go for it.
I think that nowadays there's more opportunities for people out there because people are starting to take gap years before they go to university, yeah. which is a good thing because it means that people can experience a different way of life and experience things that they might want to do when they get back from the gap year.
Grant, is there anything you want to add?
Well, for me personally, I'm working my way into the arts sector at the moment, and I found having volunteering opportunities is quite a good thing. Obviously, getting a full-time paid job in the arts industry can be quite hard, and I didn't end up going to university to study for any of the things that I should have, and now I'm not sure how viable it would be to go to university. So having volunteering and organisations like Curious Minds to help get
I'm
me
loving
into
this advertising.
Stuff and give me experiences and connections is definitely a beneficial thing, and you know, kind of makes you realise you don't always have to go down the route of university. And as you were saying, university doesn't always help anyway, does it? Because
no,
it doesn't necessarily leave you with the experience you need.
No.
So. Yeah, that's why like we have things such as printers now. But yeah, Anna, is there anything, any last things you want to add?
On a positive note, I think I do see young people, I do see attitudes changing, particularly in terms of attitudes towards disability, towards different kinds of sexuality, towards, you know, different kinds of people from all different kinds of places.
Oh, yeah.
As well as on issues like climate change and things like that. And I feel really hopeful for just like when all those people grow up a bit and we just take control of that. And I just feel hopeful for attitudes changing in a really open-minded society.
And that's a good part of, that's a good thing that social media does, isn't
yeah.
it?
It's
not all
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, definitely. It's not all doom and gloom. Yeah, we're definitely becoming a lot more liberal society, a lot more accepting, and we're also doing a lot more to change in order to accommodate for everyone, aren't we? Thank you so much, guys, for coming today. We really do appreciate your thoughts and opinions. So this is
thank you for having us.
Thank you. So we come to the end of yet another Fry podcast. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Mason Ricard.
I'm Jamal Hill-Doris,
and we'll speak to you later.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.